We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Psalms chapter 40, again reading in verse 1, a psalm of David. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now I want to hear this morning on those first three verses. I see it is very, very familiar verses of Scripture. I have taken them before and preached on them. I quote them very often in messages. But maybe just share a few thoughts here. As we were studying this past week and came across this, and it just, like the Lord just fixed me on that. And I want to talk and, on these three verses here. And if I use the text this morning, David said he was in a horrible pit. And so if I would take a text, I would say out of the mire, into the choir. Out of the mire in to the choir. Now we are allowed here in these few verses here to see inside the heart of King David. Now here there's some dispute, I guess. I don't know whether dispute's the right word or not, but there's some discussion on when this psalm was written. Some scholars believe that it probably was written during the time that David was running and hiding from King Saul. And then other scholars believe that it might have been written, originated during the time whenever, as you know, the rebellion, during the time of the rebellion of Absalom, David's son, when he tried to take the kingdom from his father. But that's really not that important here as far as the message of this psalm. Either way, David is speaking about a time in his life when he was trapped. A time in his life when he was trapped in helplessness and was trapped in hopelessness and a situation. But even in that terrible time that David found himself in his life, that terrible time of darkness and fear, the Bible says here that God heard his cry. Could I say to us here this morning that God still hears the cries of his children? When you're in a hopeless and a helpless situation and you cry out to the Lord, I can promise you upon the authority of the Word of God that God will hear you. The Bible says that we serve a God who hears and answers prayers. And so the Bible says right here that he cried out and God heard his cry, and he reached down into David's pit and he lifted him out. And he tells us here how the Lord lifted him out of that miry pit that he was in, and filled and placed him over in the choir and put a new song in his heart. Now what we see in this psalm right here, it speaks to you and I as the children of God today. What we see here is we're reminded here of what the Lord did for us when he reached away down into the very depths of sin, and he lifted us up by his power and his grace, and he saved us and transformed us and made us into a child of God. We all remember when we were in that horrible pit of sin, and God reached down and lifted us up out of that pit. And so we're told here about the blessings that have come to us because that God has lifted us out of the pit and placed us over into the choir. And I just want to share a few of those blessings here with us this morning and preach on this. And the first thing I want you to see there in verse 1, I want you to see that the saints have experienced the tenderness of God. Now, here David describes a time in his life, waiting in his life. And in other words, you say, what are you talking about? Waiting. He seems to be indicate here that there was a time of hopelessness and helplessness that he was in, a time when David was waiting on the Lord to move and deliver him from that terrible situation. Have you ever found yourself in a place in life where that there's something that needed to be done, that there wasn't anything that you could do to get you out of that place, wasn't anything anybody else could do? If it got done, then God is going to have to do it. And you was in that time of waiting on the Lord to come and deliver you from that situation that you were in life. I'm sure most of us are older and been Christian for a long time. I'm sure that most of us can say that's very vivid in your mind. Those times when nobody could do anything for you. You just had to trust the Lord. And you had to wait on Him to come and deliver you, just like that David is right here. And so here he was unable to help himself, and he was forced to wait on the Lord. We find ourselves in situations like that. We find ourselves in places where there ain't nothing we can do to help ourselves. We just have to wait on the Lord. And so we've all experienced the helpless times in our lives, but can you imagine here, and I want to say, no matter how bad those times are, there's nothing that will compare to that time that we spent in the pit of sin. There's nothing any worse. You'll never find yourself in any situation in life than you that was worse than the time that you were lost and undone without God in the pit of sin. Hopeless and helpless to do anything to save yourself. Hopeless and helpless to do anything to deliver yourself from the situation that you found yourself in. And so, and then can you recall what it was like when you realized that you were sinking deeper and deeper into the miry drip of sin? I'm sure we can. Some here, maybe it wasn't that just a good moral person that wasn't saved, and then you got saved. But I'm sure there was some here that was in the miry pit of sin, and it just seems to be pulling you down farther and farther the longer that you stayed in that pit of sin. What a horrible thing! There's no greater feeling of hopelessness and helplessness than that time when we were unsaved. Now there is no other pit of life that can compare to it of knowing that you're lost in sin and you're headed for a devil's hell. There's no pit that could be any worse than that. To know, here I am, I'm a sinner, and I know what the consequences of sinners are. I know what the wages of sin is. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, and I'm here in this pen, and there's absolutely nothing that I can do to save myself. Oh, what a horrible feeling that is. Do you remember it? Do you remember when you were afraid to go to sleep at night? Afraid of knowing what the result would be if somehow or another that you died in your sleep? What a horrible feeling. But thank God, even in that terrible time of waiting, God loved us. I'm glad to say here tonight and say here again this morning is God still loves sinners. God loves sinners, old sinners, no matter what they've done. God loves sinners so much that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So He loved us and He heard us and He reached out to us even while that we were languishing in sin. He heard her cry, and he reached out to us. Now listen, David describes himself as being, look in verse 2, as a horrible pit. That word horrible, as a definition, there may be fear or dread or horror. Just whenever you hear that word horrible, it doesn't seem of something that is awful, something that is just so bad. And he said, I was in this horrible pit. And that word pit there refers to a cistern or a dungeon or whatever you might want to think of it. And so this here has the ideal of being trapped in a place of torment. And while you are trapped in that place of torment, that your enemies constantly cry out against him. He said, I'm in this pit, and my enemies just out there taunting me. They're just out there crying out against me and mocking me and making fun of me while that I'm here in this horrible pit, David said. And David speaks as one who is wounded by the problems and the burdens of life. And not only that, but God reached out to him. The Bible says right here, even in that horrible time, and he extended his tenderness and his love to David. And so here, who among us can forget the horrible pit of sin? Who has forgot that? How horrible that it was. Who can forget the pain and the loneliness of the separation from God? I want to say to you this morning that I have found since I've been a Christian, of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon me, the greatest thing that I have as a Christian is today is the fellowship that I have with my God through Jesus Christ. The greatest thing. Can you remember how lonely it was when you didn't have Him to fellowship with? You didn't have Him to talk to and to share your burdens with and to commune with. How can we ever forget the pain and the loneliness? Who can forget the burden of conviction? Whenever that you, the conviction of Almighty God would come upon your life because of the sin that you were committing. Being lost is like being in a horrible pit. While the enemy of the soul, and we all know who the enemy of the soul is Satan. And while that he is standing by, the Bible said, and he mocks us, and he howls against us, and he taunts us, condemning us. But thank God for the tender hand of God that reached out to touch us in our wounded condition. And the Bible says when we needed him the most, he didn't turn us away. When we needed him the most, he didn't say, you have fallen too far into sin. You've got yourself into this mess so you can get yourself out of it. No, he did not say that. But I want you to know today that he what he did is he reached out to us and he took us up and he bound our wounds. And the Bible says here that he gave us rest. Come unto me, all ye that are labor, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, him that will come to me, I will in no wise cast out, no matter who that it is. And so here David says, I cried out to the Lord when I found myself in this horrible pit. And David tells us that when he was crying out there, look what the Bible says. It says the Lord God inclined unto him. What does that word incline mean? What does it mean that he inclined to him? It means to stretch out or to bend. David was in a position where here he could not reach the Lord. He was in a position where that he could not reach the Lord. He could not deliver himself from this horrible pit. He could not reach up. But God could reach down to him, and he was. And we all know that Jesus condescended himself and came down here to this pit, and he lifted us up out of that horrible pit. Now listen to me. Can you remember that day when the Lord of glory bent down? He inclined himself to me. I couldn't reach up to him. I couldn't, but he reached down to me when I was there. I couldn't get to him, but he could get to me. And so what he says here is, can you remember that? And to hear He bent down to hear your cry. Can you remember the time when the God of heaven reached down farther than you could ever reach up? And so the precious sovereign God stretched down his hand to every one of us here today that are saved, and he reached down his hand and lifted you out of that pit of sin. And that was the greatest day of your life. I don't care what has happened to you or what's going to ever happen to you in life. You can become one of the greatest entrepreneurs or that you could ever be, or have the most power that anybody could ever possess. But the greatest day of your life was the day that Jesus reached down and lifted you up out of that horrible pit of sin and saved your soul and delivered you from a devil's hell. Would you say amen to that? Or you had a better day in your life? Have you? And I don't think you have. I know I haven't. That was the best day. And it's available to all. You don't have to be rich to get it. You don't have to be educated to get it. All you have to do is just realize that you're in a horrible pit and you can't reach God, but he can reach down to you and lift you up out of that horrible, horrible pit. Now listen, we could never have reached him. And after all, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And that simply means if a dead person cannot do anything, a dead person can't respond. And that's why that a sinner can't respond to the things of God. They're dead to the things of God. But listen, when man failed, grace prevailed. What does the Bible say in Romans 5:20? When sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When sin abounded, when there was so much sin and so many sins in our lives, and our lives were just filled with sin, the grace of God more abounded. I'm glad there's enough grace to save man from all the sins that he could ever be guilty of. And so we experience the tenderness of God. And then the children of God experience his touch. Look what the phrase says. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And that indicates that God didn't just see what David was going through. And I think sometimes that's what we think as Christians. That God sees us, but he don't do nothing about it. He don't care. He's unaffected. He's not touched by what we're going through. Well, I would suggest to you that the Bible says that we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He does care what we're going through. He does know what we're going through. And so he didn't just listen to David's talk here, but the Bible said he did something about it. He got into the pit with David, and he lifted David out. Now let me give you a few things here. If a legalist came by and saw a sinner in a pit, you know what that legalist would do? He would preach a sermon about the dangers of the pit. If a religious would come along and see that same sinner in that same pit, he would talk about the steps the sinner could take to help get out of that pit and avoid other pits in the future. If a pessimist would come by and walk by and see this same fella in that pen of sin, you know what that pessimist would do? He would say, "You're going to die in that pen. There's no way out. You're going to die." And then if there was an optimist, I think we have more pessimists than we have optimists, and I hope you all are optimists. But if an optimist would come by and saw that same sinner, he would have said, "Well, I've seen a lot worse pits than that one you're in. I've seen worse pits." And then if a realist come by and saw that same sinner in that same pit, he would say, "You just got to accept the fact that you're in a pit and do the best you can. That's just all there are to it. You just have to accept that fact, that you're in that pen." If a spiritualist came by and saw that same sinner, he would tell that sinner, "There, you just think you're in a pit. You're not really in a pit." That's what a religious would have told him. And so you see there, but look here. What I said all that to say this to you. And say, but Jesus came by, and if Jesus came by, and he did come by, but if he came by and saw this same sinner that we were talking about in that pit, you know what he would do? He would get into that pit with that sinner and lift him out. That's what he would do. That's what he did do. That's what the Bible says that he done. He saw mankind in the pit of sin. And rather than saying these things that all these others said, you know what he's saying? "Father, I will go. I will go down there to earth and I will get into that pit with them. And I will die on the cross and pay the payment for their sins that I might be able to lift them up out of that pit, that they won't have to perish in that pit." And that's what he did. And he robed himself in human flesh. He entered the pit of this world. He died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Look what Philippians 2:5 says. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus came down from heaven where he was equal with God, took upon himself the form of a servant, and he came down and was obedient even unto the obedient of the death of the cross, so that he could lift you and I out of that horrible pit of sin. If I have to say it myself, hallelujah, 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 that Jesus loved us as sinners enough to come and to lift us out. He fleshed out the parable of the Good Samaritan. Those Levites and those Pharisees, they passed by on the other side when they saw the man in the ditch has been beaten and wounded, but the Good Samaritan came by and had what Bible says, and what I want to bring out, you all know the story, but the phrase that I want to bring out is that the Good Samaritan, the despised race of people, had compassion on him. That's what God did. The Bible says Jesus looked out yonder and saw people scattered as a sheep having no shepherd, and he had compassion on them, was moved with compassion. He saw us lost without any hope, on our way to a devil's hell, in a horrible, horrible pit. And he came down and got into that pit with us and lifted us up out of that place. Ain't that wonderful? This morning, his death is proof of his love. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. His saving touch is the proof of his grace. You're saved by grace through faith, or you're saved not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. And so David here now talks about how this touch of grace manifested itself in his life. He points out three glories here that he experienced. Let me just share these things with you real quickly. Man, we're under time today. We can talk to you today. Look here. He talks about here these three glories that he experienced. He said, "I experienced the glory of his power." The glory of his power. His touch has the power to forever alter the life he's touched. Did not God alter your life when he touched you? Delivered you from your sin. You was on a path that was leading to destruction. And when God touched you, that he altered that path, and now you're turned you around and you're on the way, on the path that leads to life, life everlasting. And David said, "I experienced his power. He brought me up out of that terrible dungeon." David talks about miry clay. He's talking about the sludge or the slime or whatever you might want to call it that's in the bottom of a well. You've all had, whether it's a well or not, but a big hole. And I guess our minds can comprehend more with a pond than anything, I guess. When you get down there, when that water's there, and you dip that water and all that old miry clay, all that old gooky stuff there on the bottom. And David, that's what David compares it to. I was in that old mucky, miry stuff, and I can remember that being in Carter's Pond, some of them places when I was a kid running around. We didn't go to Hardin's Park and swim. We found us a pond somewhere and found us a grapevine somewhere and had us a big time. But anyway, I remember getting in there, and it just seemed like it just kept pulling you down and pulling you down. The more you tried to lift your feet up, it's just the harder it was. And so here, David said, I remember that time. Has the ideal of that deep, slimy, clinging stuff and mud that tries to pull you deeper and deeper. It's the ideal of instability that has our feet are slipping in danger of falling. And he says he redeemed, he delivered us. And we that are saved said he redeemed us from death and doom and of our sins, and he changed every life that he touches. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I do want to say this, that if when you get saved, there will be a change that will take place in your life. Will I become perfect? Absolutely not. You will not become perfect, but you'll be a changed person. The things that you used to hate, you'll now love. The things that you love now, you used to, you didn't want anything to do with it. When you meet the Lord Jesus, he changes people, makes a new creature out of you. Old things that are passed away. And he says right here, he says he's pulled me out of that miry clay. But he also tells us that he sets him up on a rock. Look at that word rock there. It refers to high cliff. Contrast to the miry down here low clay and stuff that is pulling on your feet and trying to pull you down. And then he lifts you out of that and he sets you up high on a big old rock cliff. Your feet is stable, secure. And so we've been delivered from that life of darkness, that life of hopelessness, that life of deadness and all these kind of things. And he lifted us up above, it says, and set us on a place of stability and security. Thank God that there is a rock that is higher than I.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.